In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah, it's time to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn. We're joined by Alan Adams of The Main Edge on this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Adams.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
We'll talk movies, certainly, but we have to at least get your thoughts. Like everybody else, devastated by the news of the passing of Alex Trebek, but as somebody who was on the show, obviously, you have a much greater connection. We knew this day was coming, and yet it still caught us by surprise.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that was the thing. I think, and I'm far from the only one, but I think I convinced myself that he was going to beat it, or even like that he already had. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it was
right.
Just there's such a, I don't know. There's just such a this air of sort of omnipresence around him. Like it's just one of those things where you just assume that you just assume he's always going to be around, and to be confronted with the reality that isn't the case. It's tough. It hurts to think about him, you know, not being there anymore. Just because, you know, like for so many of us, like he's been part of my life for most of it. Do you know what I mean? Like from when I was a kid right up through until, you know, finally making it onto the show a couple of years ago. Like it was just like he's always been there. And to have that presence sort of just removed from your life, and the interesting, I don't even know what the right word is, but, you know, I mean, he was working up until 2 weeks ago.
But right.
It's sad to think about, like, tonight at 7:30, Jeopardy is going to come on, and Alex Trebek is going to be there. And the idea of seeing him there, even though he's gone, is going to be hard. I think it's going to be hard for a lot of people for a while.
And I think I read today that the last episode he taped, How Appropriate, will air on Christmas night.
Yeah, it's scheduled to air come Christmas time. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, my plan, we'll talk about it on Wednesday, but we were scheduled to run an interview with Claire McNair about her Jeopardy book.
Oh, yeah.
That's our cover story for this week. That was on the schedule because her book comes out tomorrow. I went back and forth, and I decided that I would continue on that path, but also include sort of a memorial remembrance of Alex Trebek, my own memories. And I reached out to other members of the sort of greater Jeopardy alumni community to get their reminiscences as well. So that'll be something that will be included along with that other stuff for our cover story this week. So we'll talk more about that in a couple of days.
Well, that sounds great. All right, what did you see for movies this weekend?
I got to see a couple. It's an interesting pairing. The first one we'll talk about is it's a movie called The True Adventures of Wolf Boy.
Okay.
It's directed by a gentleman by the name of Martin Creche from a script by Olivia Dufault. And look, man, I'm on record as being someone who is who's a sucker for coming of age stories. Like I love. I love the idea of following young people as they sort of make one of the many transitions that go from childhood to adulthood. This one's, it's actually a pretty good one. I've been kind of calling it like a sort of a modern day fairy tale, almost a fable, that sort of explores the idea of what it means to be different and how coming to terms with those differences is a big part of what it means to grow up. The basic gist is you've got a young man named Paul, played by Jaden Martell, who's a 12-year-old boy living in Buffalo. He has a rare genetic condition, one that causes him to grow hair all over. It's the werewolf disease is what they call it. He lives with his father, played by Chris Messina. Doesn't know his mother. His mom left the family immediately following his birth. He's shy. He's embarrassed by his condition, despite his dad's attempts to help him normalize it. He's constantly bullied, which doesn't help. And so he's sort of resigned himself to this life of loneliness. But a mysterious gift arrives on his birthday. It's from his mom. And the box basically contains a map tracing a path to an address in Pennsylvania where they could potentially reunite. And so without a second thought, Paul runs away. Like he first runs off and winds up at a nearby spot where a touring carnival has set up, where he meets the carnival's owner, a very shady character played with great glee by John Turturro, who sees Paul as a potentially lucrative opportunity. The relationship quickly sours and Paul flees. However, the carnival's owner, the appropriately named Mr. Silk, is not one to give up very easily. Paul continues to run, and he stumbles upon a young lady named Aristiana in her backyard. He's swept up by her worldliness and winds up accompanying her to a gig which involves her blowing bubbles and lip-syncing at a gay bar. He meets another friend of hers, a redhead with an eye patch named Rose, and Aristiana and Rose agree to help Paul on his quest. They jump into Rose's van and they head to Pennsylvania. But there are people looking for Paul. His dad's looking, Mr. Silk is looking, the police are looking. But again, there's only one person out there that Paul is interested in being found by. And he's on his way, but what happens when he arrives? And, you know, is he going to ultimately get what he needs from undergoing this adventure? Look, it's a thoughtful and very gentle look at what it means to be a kid who's different. You have, there's an overt otherness with Paul, you know, with his condition. But there are other young people in this story who are also dealing with significant differences. And all of them are struggling with the realities of those differences. What this movie does that I really was pleased by was it treats the emotions of the young people with respect, which, you know, doesn't always happen in these sorts of movies. Like, it really allows the story to offer genuine feelings. And granted that the story gets a little thin in some spots, but the relationships have an intimacy that really sort of sells this kind of imagined grandness of the journey that they're undertaking. Like, the basic notion is, if you've never gone anywhere or done anything, you have been afraid to go or do, like, a trip to Pennsylvania might as well be a trip to a castle or the Shire or the moon. Like, it's the largest undertaking of this young man's life. And the filmmakers do a great job of sort of endowing it with that scale, even as they embrace the sort of intimate nature of it. The performances are great. The kids are really strong. Chris Messina is a pro. Turturro is clearly having just a blast. Like he's got a weird, like, ponytail and is just, like, oily and gross and just clearly having a ball. When you sort of compound those performances with a really sort of a sweetly messaged movie, it's really a nice time. I think it might have benefited from pushing a little bit more into that sort of magical realism realm that it kind of dips its toes into, but that's a minor quibble. Like, as a fable, it works. And all things considered, not a bad movie.
All right, excellent. And what's the other one that you saw?
Well, Rich, you know how I said that that other one was not a bad movie?
Yes.
We all know that the deluge of holiday movies is coming. We passed Halloween, and so the holly jolly is going to get dropped on us pretty hard going forward. And speaking of dropping, the first holiday movie that I observed this season is a Netflix offering by the name of Operation Christmas Drop. look, it's a Netflix original, it looks exactly like a Netflix original. It's a holiday movie / rom-com. It's got that sort of crossover. So really, we're talking about one of the largest holiday film subgenres. There's very little about this movie that sets it apart from literally a dozen other movies that you've seen. Like, everything you think is going to happen, happens. Like, there's no surprises. Like, nothing is challenging or provocative. Any flavor there is comes from a tropical setting, but even that's just the barest hint. Like, we're talking a bland and inoffensive movie, like, as so much as they come. Like, something almost intended to be put on in the background during, like, multi-generational family celebrations. the plot, such as it is, Erica Miller, played by Cat Graham, she's a political aide looking for ways to advance her career. She works long hours, much to the detriment of her personal relationships. She's doing her best to gain the attention of her boss, Congresswoman Bradford, played by Virginia Madsen. Because, Rich, rumor has it that the chief of staff position might be opening up and Erica wants a shot.
Oh, yeah.
So the congresswoman is crusading against government waste. So she sees an article about Operation Christmas Drop, which is an unofficial program being run out of an air base in Guam. She wants to find out more, specifically if government resources are being diverted to enact it. And in a turn of events that I'm sure would 100% happen in real life, Erica is sent to Guam to find out what's going on. When she gets there, she meets the operations poster boy, a gentleman by the name of Captain Andrew Jantz, played by Alexander Ludwig. He's the sort of the easygoing pilot who spearheads the operation. He's the one who's been tasked with showing her around, the base and the island. It's a task he takes as a chance to prove that not only is Operation Christmas Drop valuable, but it doesn't cost the government anything. And so, as Erica learns more about Operation Christmas Drop, meeting both the givers and the recipients, she starts to believe in its value. And, Rich, hold on, she starts to become enamored of Captain Jantz.
Shocker.
But the big promotion awaits, and the path to that job becomes a lot easier if she can give her boss what she wants. So the question, what will she choose? And will the Christmas spirit also play Cupid?
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, yeah. Rich, I think you knew the answer to that question long before I asked. Now, look, it's tough to watch this movie and not be at least somewhat charmed by it. Like, I'm not saying it's good, because it really isn't, but it is so unapologetically what it is. Like, it is what it is, and if you don't like it, it does not care, because it's not aimed at you. Like, this is a movie that knows precisely what its target audience wants and happily delivers it without even the slightest trace of irony or cynicism. And this, despite the fact that there are several moments that read like nothing so much as straight-up recruitment propaganda for the U.S. military. Like, I mean, the fact that this movie still manages to avoid feeling cynical in the face of all that stuff is maybe the most impressive thing about it. Like, you know, and it's on location, so the setting is nice, albeit flattened by the ubiquitous Netflix sheen. And the story itself, which is loosely based on a long-time real-life operation, is heartwarming. Like, yes, it's reductive in a lot of ways, and there are a lot of questions. I mean, we're talking about moments that manage to defy both logic and logistics. But again, you're not clicking on Operation Christmas Drop because you're looking to be challenged. Like, you're not looking for a complex cinematic masterpiece when you see this and you're like, oh, okay, I think I'll watch that. You're here because you know exactly what you're going to get. And right now, that's all you want. Like, it's simple. It's got some sweetness. It's a very easy half watch. Like, it's the sort of movie that you can watch while also, like, scrolling through your phone or doing literally anything else, because it's not like you have to pay attention. Because, again, like, it's very clear within the first 5 minutes of this movie precisely what's going to happen. Like, it exists solely because it checks the right boxes for Netflix. That's it. But, you know, like, if this movie maybe isn't for you, it's certainly not for me. But if you like it, like, odds are you're going to really like it. And, like, as much as it pains me to say, it's really tough to call that anything other than success.
Well, hey, listen, if there are people that want that or looking for exactly that kind of thing, and in 2020, I say, if that's what you want, then you ought to get it and enjoy it.
You know, exactly. And here's the thing. Netflix is not in the business of losing money. So if they're making it, people are watching it.
I won't be one of them. But for those who do, you go right ahead. Thank you for watching it for us, though.
You're very welcome. expect a number of very similar reviews over the coming weeks. Again, like you say, I do it so you don't have to.
We appreciate that so much, Alan. Thank you. And we'll check in with you and talk a little bit more, Alex Trebek, on Wednesday.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Alan Adams, Main Edge, with us on Downtown. Pass the popcorn.